Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, how much thought do you dedicate to sun protection? Well, Aisling Walsh from Rush in County Dublin is sharing the importance of sun safety after losing her 32-year-old husband, Tom, to melanoma last April. I'm joined by Aisling and Amy Nolan, the Irish Cancer Society's Director of Clinical Affairs. You're both very welcome.
Thank you, Colin.
Aisling, it's only a matter of months since you lost your husband, Tom. He died in April, so condolences on that. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Tom was the strongest person I've ever known, and I think I'm taking that strength on board in this moment and in every moment since then as well.
Okay, big, strong, tall, fit guy. So yeah. Tell me about what kind of person he was and how the two of you met.
I think that might take up the whole segment.
Okay.
He had the greatest zest for life, just so strong, so resilient, just the most humorous. His laugh would come from his toes. I think one of our first dinner dates, we were in a small tapas bar in town and he was facing me and I was facing the restaurant, and everybody looked at him when he laughed, but he hadn't got a clue. He was so carefree and just an amazing, amazing person.
Right. Brought a lot of joy.
Oh, huge amount of joy. My absolute rock, my other half. And I wouldn't even say other half. He made me whole. So we were whole together.
And he was a man who liked to be out and about his job. He was out in the world and a great expert on all matters horticultural.
He used to drop in the Latin terms for a lot of flowers. I think that might have been how I was wooed initially. a huge outdoor man, GAA. I don't think he'd let me sit here today and not mention Mayo as well. an absolutely unbelievably pure man and most at ease in nature. His job was as a greenkeeper in Port Marnock, and he had a great graw for it and all the lads over there. So yeah, no, just a hugely, hugely, just a brilliant man.
And what were the first signs that he was sick?
I suppose back in January of last year, so January 24, he had a seizure during the night, and that was the first indication that anything was wrong. And we went into A&E and he was called back for an MRI in early March. And then it was just after St. Patrick's Day that we got the results of that to show that lesions had been found on the brain. And from there, his journey with cancer kind of began.
Right. It must have been awfully tough news to get. You probably went thinking potentially something neurological. To get that news must have been a big shock.
Absolutely. And I suppose from that day, we were living day to day in everything. I can't believe I've not mentioned the word positive yet, but Tom was hugely positive and hugely resilient in receiving bad news. From that moment, he was admitted into hospital once we got the news of his results, and they were trying to locate the primary tumour. In that, we had hope that we spoke about treatments. We left the care that he received in Beaumont was second to none. There's such an unbelievable staff. At that point, he was in St. Bridget's, the neurological ward, and there was talks of epilepsy and stuff like that. But once they did the brain biopsy back in April, so it was nearly a year to the day that he passed away that he got the diagnosis of melanoma.
Right. And looking back, I suppose the instinct would have been, when things are that far advanced, to look back and say, was there anything else? Were there any other signs? Could you think of anything earlier that might have given any kind of an indication?
He did have a mole on the back of his head that we were always very aware of. He wore a sun hat, but I think looking back on it now, it probably just didn't reach to where it needed to reach. We did show it. Well, now I have to go on his word here that he showed it to a GP previously, but there was no concerns at that point, and then very quickly it disappeared. And I suppose that is, in our minds, it was out of sight, out of mind, but that would be any change of all at all is a significant factor to consider in terms of moles and skin checks.
Right, Amy, that would be for anyone monitoring external signs, changes to molds or the like.
Exactly, Colm. I think it's very generous of Aisling to be here today and tell the story of Tom and herself so recently. But 1 in 100 people in Ireland will be diagnosed with a form of skin cancer or melanoma every year. We know that. Things are improving because some of the education that has gone on about slip, slap, slop, seek shade, slide on your sunglasses has definitely, it's definitely working. But we know that if children are severely burnt by the sun 3 times before the age of 20, it significantly increases their risk of developing a melanoma as an adult. So that is really something that we're very aware of. And I think people are much more aware, and you, because Aisling is a teacher, would probably be very aware of the fact that parents are very aware of their children. But I think it's also very important as adults that we are aware of our skin, that we're aware of any changes. So the melanin in your skin gives you the colour of your skin, and the Celtic skin tone is certainly more at risk of developing types of skin cancer or melanoma. We know this. So certainly that is an area that we would really encourage people, if they notice any change in skin mole lesion, if there's change in colour, if there's change in size, if there is a change in, even if it's bleeding.
When you say change texture. In size, you're not just talking about growth there, because as Aisling says, Tom's mole disappeared.
Which is quite unusual. It disappeared. And when Tom was diagnosed, the melanoma, you couldn't find the original, the beginning of where the melanoma started. So it had at that point metastasized. So it had spread to the brain. So in Tom's case, it was really a very difficult situation because cure was not an option at that point. So early detection is really, really important. And I think that's Aisling's message. If you detect this early, the treatment can be surgery. And that may be all that's required. Other treatments exist now, like chemotherapy and immunotherapies, which are much better treatments than when I was administering treatments to somebody with a melanoma 20 years ago. They had to have these really difficult interferon injections. So the treatments have improved. Right. But what we really want is to ensure that early detection is key.
Aisling, I mean, diagnosis, as you said, Tom, was a very positive guy. Diagnosis didn't stop you getting on with your lives, even before you knew how long he would have left. He proposed to you after he was diagnosed. He wasn't going to waste any time.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't under duress. He did.
It never is, Aisling. It never is.
In the middle of his radiation treatment. So that was even surreal. He brought me down to the South Beach in Rush. It's a very special place for us. And yeah, popped the question. And as of always, he's definitely more organised. He would have been a brilliant primary school teacher. He even organised the nail appointment for me. He was like, "You're booked in, you have to go here." So yeah,
did that give the game away? He wanted the nails done for the photos of the hands, did he, when he slipped the ring on?
I was a little bit suspicious.
Right. Suspicious.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, the proposal made and you were in the middle of making plans. You also had to deal with his illness and his treatment and all the planning. How did you cope with that as a couple? How did you kind of plan your lives with such uncertainty?
I suppose it's day to day, and it's not until you know you're in that moment that you know what you're capable of. Again, his strength was something I wouldn't be able to be here today without his strength. I really feel like he's passed it on. In more times throughout his journey with cancer, he comforted me. I think he only used the term cancer very briefly, didn't really talk about it. He was very conscious that life is for living and lived that till the fullest, until the very end.
And Amy mentioned there the kinds of treatment that were on offer. Mm. What treatment was he offered, and how did he respond to it over the time you had left with him?
I suppose in everything, even with the primary tumour not presenting itself. He was very unfortunate. Initially, he did a round of radiation, but that was just
symptom management.
Yeah, exactly, symptom management. And then he began immunotherapy in the summer of last year. From there, things kind of declined. It wasn't successful. And he went for a brain shunt towards the end of September last year. To a point afterwards that was to relieve fluid on the brain, and then he kind of bounced back a bit, and that was when we started discussing weddings. and our special day. And then he took a much further decline in October and went into hospital and came back amazingly well on a treatment, tipifarnib and trametinib. But he was at a point where he lost the ability to walk. He really...
Right.
He built himself back from that point hugely. And even I was down in the gym one of the days with the physio, Niamh, and she's an amazing woman. And she was like up and off the bed 10 times. And afterwards he was going and I was like, we're at 12 now. And he's like, I'm going for 20. And I think that just showed he was so, if perseverance and resilience could cure him, he would have. But just in all things, he was unfortunate in that way.
And you did have the wedding day.
We did, yeah.
Yeah. And how was he for the day?
He was amazing. It was the best day ever. I think his birthday was the 3rd of November. So he got out of hospital after coming back really well on that treatment. He got out of hospital around Halloween. His birthday was on the 3rd of November and everybody from Mayo came over. And I think after a few drinks, people thought they let loose that they thought they were coming to a wedding that day. But we told them to come back 10 days later. So we organised the wedding in those 10 days.
Wow, and right.
Yeah, we had our special day in Tankardstown House out in Meath. And it was just the most beautiful day. And he was so well. The staff in Beaumont on the oncology ward had him good for the day. He was off treatment just for that day and given a little steroid to help him along. But
yeah,
it was amazing.
You'd probably be forever grateful for getting that day and having those memories to sustain you.
Absolutely.
And the planning didn't stop there. You made plans for kids as well.
Absolutely. Before he started treatment, we took that moment to secure the future in terms of that. The impact on fertility is quite unknown, especially in regards to immunotherapy. So we made plans in that way. Of course, it was always with the intention of doing it together, but I think going forward, it's brought comfort knowing that I can do that now too.
All right. Well, the very best of luck with that, taking that path as well. But we'll get you to put your Moonshore hat on now and the awareness call you're making today in very difficult circumstances. I mean, I think people will be struck by how composed you've managed to keep yourself talking about such an emotional thing. But I know it's important for you to make the call. Yeah. So if you could highlight the most important thing on behalf of you and your family and to prevent other families maybe having to go through the same thing, what would you say?
Take sun safety serious. Don't hesitate to get something checked. Don't put it off and think, oh, I'm too busy. Just especially in regards to what Amy was talking about, children, being sun aware is a life skill. And it needs to start when children are young. I'd be very pro sun safety going forward now in my own career. And I do think it has to be acknowledged going forward as well. But just look out for your loved ones. Tom's mole was on the back of his head. I did nag him. But yeah, just when you notice something in yourself or someone you love, don't feel afraid to say it.
Okay. Amy, just on the kind of the practicalities and what that sun safety looks like. I mean, obviously, it's worth having the struggle with children to apply sun cream and hats and covering up and everything else. But things like mole mapping and the quality of sun cream that people put on, you know, what kind of things need to be paid? What kind of things do people need to pay attention to?
Yeah, and it's not necessary to do mole mapping. I think it is necessary to be aware of your body and any changes. And as you just mentioned, Aisling, Tom's mole was in the back of his head, so not always easy to see. Many people have maybe in their back moles or skin little tags and stuff that need to be looked at. So if you can get somebody just to check those, take a photograph. next year take a photograph. If there's any change, then you'll know that there's a difference. So we really recommend that you keep an eye on your skin that way. Factor 30 usually for adults, factor 50 for children. Once it has that UVA, UVB protection, it should be fine to use.
How
and
often?
Make sure that you, so we would recommend that you reapply it at least, well, if you're out of the water, reapply again. Certainly every 4 hours would be advisable. And I think the other thing to say is that just have bottles of sun cream everywhere. The best way to protect yourself is with clothing. So if you have your long sleeves and long clothes, that will help to protect your skin as well. Hats that are wide brimmed, sunglasses that cover your eyes as well.
So okay, and rub in till it's invisible or leave it white and pale on the surface?
Yeah, no, rub it in. I mean, okay. It's just lash it on, I think, is really the message here, just to make sure. And the other thing I really want to mention is sunbeds. So please ensure that people do not use sunbeds, because that increases your risk. If you use a sunbed for the first time before you're 35 years old, it increases the risk of developing melanoma by 75%.
Okay.
So that's a huge statistic that nobody really is aware of. And we know young people are going to sunbeds instead of putting on the fake tan. Use the fake tan. You know, don't use sunbeds.
Okay. All right. Well, Amy Noylan of the Irish Cancer Society, the Director of Clinical Affairs there, and Aisling Walsh, thanks very much for being so generous with your time and for sharing the story, and condolences again for that. And if anyone out there has any concerns on cancer, you can contact the Irish Cancer Society support line on free phone 1800 200 700. You can find out more about the signs and symptoms of cancer there on the Irish Cancer Society website, cancer.ie. Now, coming up, why the cost of health insurance keeps going up.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.